You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Depends on combining punishment with something that you really did not exhibit towards your son, namely mercy.
Spears did not speak at the sentencing. She was convicted last month of poisoning 5-year-old Garnett with overdoses of salt when they lived in the New York City suburb of Chestnut Ridge. The judge said Spears suffers from a mental illness, which caused her to crave attention from being the mother of a sick child, and said he hopes she gets treatment. The defense denies she's mentally ill and will appeal. Warren Levinson, New York.
The White House is criticizing a federal judge's decision to keep a temporary hold on the president's executive action that sought to shield millions of immigrants from deportation. The U.S. Department of Justice had asked U.S. District Court Judge Andrew Hanen to lift the stay. The judge refused late last night. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans will step in. The appeals court is scheduled to hear arguments April 17th. Some teenagers get driving lessons from their parents. Others are taught by licensed instructors. But Malia Obama isn't your average 16-year-old. Her driving lessons were provided by the U.S. Secret Service. First Lady Michelle Obama told Rachel Ray she hasn't driven herself in 7 or 8 years and that the armed agents who protect her family refuse to let her in the car with her daughter. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
It was a beautiful day, sun beat down. I heard the radio on. I was driving.
Are you running down your dream out there?
Running down dreams.
We are so excited. Today is going to be a great show. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. It's 4:04 on April 8th, and my guest in studio is the famous Big C. He's Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Radio. He hosts the morning show, Good Morning Hunterdon, every day from 8 to 10. And we are here today talking to him about the success of his show and also the fact that his 1,000th show is coming up later on this year. So, Chris, thanks so much for coming over today to
hey,
the
thank
show.
Thank you. This is cool.
This is cool. And you're cool because you have got such a large listenership. I just want to tell everyone a little bit about you. Chris, in the morning, he does the show Good Morning Hunterdon again. He's Big C, and he brings on all different types of people, and he's going to tell us about that in a minute. But one of the things I want to point out before we get started about the Talented People thing, and I know my business partner Colleen Kelly agrees, is that, Chris, you are such a skilled and awesome host when your guests come in.
Awesome. Yeah. I love that. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You take time to learn so much about them before they get there. Your questions are always just perfectly on target as to what the listeners, I believe, are looking to hear about. So why don't you just start off by telling us about yourself?
Well, let's see. I've had an eclectic career. I started off as a music teacher and a professional musician. I played trumpet. I was teaching in middle schools, and that wasn't really working out too well. Wasn't getting a lot of traction with that. So I had, lo and behold, a technology background. I had gotten a bachelor's degree in computer science as well. So I was a programmer for, 11 years. And then I was also a teacher of computers for 13 years. Then I became an executive information officer for a number of years, and the financial crisis hit, and I was given a severance package and not much to do, but I decided to, hey, what the heck, adopt two teenage daughters from Russia.
Oh my gosh.
So now, actually, that was all in the works at the time. It just coincided really nicely with me being a stay-at-home dad, taking care of them, and starting my own technology and executive coaching business while I was taking care of them. And 4 years ago, this opportunity came along that we're building this radio station, and there was an all-points bulletin of we're looking for hosts. And, oh, by the way, we're looking for one host to do something every morning. Would you be an anchor? And they didn't send that directly to me. They just sent it out to the constituents. So I spoke to Richard Gerstner, Richard G., and Chris Phelan, and I said, I think I can do this. I think this would kind of be kind of cool. It's on my bucket list. And I gave them an example of a radio station that I used to listen to down in South Carolina that I really liked. It was down home. It was very local. They had their foot on the finger on the pulse of everything that was going on. And I said, I think I would like to do something like that. And they said, yeah, well, run with it. So they gave me the ability to do the 5 days a week, 1 hour a day. And we were having trouble filling the second hour. So I said, well, I'll take that too, because I'm running out of time. So I did that and been helping do that. Promote the radio station, help the hosts with their own organic growth of their shows and their quality of their shows, and then I'm also helping them with all the technology in here as well. So it's been kind of a eclectic mix of all that I used to do in my past life all came together at the same time.
That is so cool.
It's kind of weird.
Well, like, it's neat to know. I want to talk, neat is an unusual word for me to use, but the reason why I say that is because I want everybody out there to know a little bit. When he was mentioning Chris Phelan is the president of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
We call him the Prez.
Uh-huh. And Richard G. is just this awesome station manager that works along with Chris B., or Big C., I should say. And so tell us a little bit about how you guys decided to create a chamber radio station in the first place. Where did that come from?
Well, the story goes, we have another station here that's on air. It's WDVR. It's down in Sargentsville, Delaware Valley. It's pretty famous, actually, because it has one of the most unique formats over there with bluegrass, and they do the Heartland Hayride. Mm-hmm. That's been around for quite a long time. It's had a pretty big following. Richard G. used to be the director of development over there. And Chris Phelan used to do a once-a-week chamber station, chamber show over there with Richard.
Oh, now it's making
And sense. I guess at one time they had said, you know, we really should look at maybe doing a full station for the chamber. And it never really came to any real fruition until the world of the internet and the smartphone and the car phones and the car internet all started to grow around 2008 and 2009. And it was at that time they said, it's cheap to do, and we have a whole different world of listenership that would be available out there. So that was the time that they said, we'll create a talk radio station that is associated with the chamber, and it would focus on talk, business, community, and education. It would not be a music station. We didn't want to trample on WDVR and its listenership. We didn't want to take on that competition.
That's considerate.
And so that's the way it got started. And then Richard, like I said, put out this APB to the membership. Do you want to be a radio host? And we had a big meeting, and everybody came in and signed up for their slots, and that's the way it started.
And here we are today.
Here we are today. We started on October 3rd, 2011. I was the first
really?
Show.
Wow. I bet you had a lot to talk about that day. I was living down in Baltimore at the time, and I remember a lot. And also, we had the white the car with the shooter in it. It was terrifying. But that was 11. What am I thinking? I'm 2001 or whatever. Anyway.
No, this is 2011.
That's a farther back, a little bit closer to today. But, okay, so let me ask you then, Chris. So tell us along the way some of your favorite guests and some of the best times, because you're coming up on your 1,000th show.
Yeah.
And that's such an accomplishment.
It's quite a feat. Actually, the 750th show is early January. I put that out on Facebook. I do about 280 shows, I think, a year.
Wow.
So so that's why the 1,000th show should be somewhere in the later in the year. Man, it's been a lot of fun. The format of the show started kind of haphazardly and random. Like I said, I did have a mock-up of what I was trying to accomplish with that radio station down in South Carolina. But the most fun I've had is, could be anything, but it's always bringing on somebody here that has passion for what they're doing. I had a furniture maker here that came in, and he was talking about all this really cool furniture he made, and he was so appreciative for being here and being able to highlight his furniture. I had a photographer on here from the New York Times, and this is the most, it's like an epiphany show for me. Mm-hmm. We had her on, and she talked about how she, I always ask, you said before how I delve into people's lives and questions. What I typically do is I try and find out how they got into the profession that they were in initially. Mm-hmm. So she described how she had, I think, snuck into the circus as a photographer when she was a kid.
How funny.
Well, the trajectory of this show was eventually she told me that she had the opportunity to photograph the electric chair that Bruno Hauptmann was electrocuted in Trenton.
Wow.
How did she do it? She lied to them the same way she did when she was getting into circus. And what happened was when we spoke to her during this, it came to her that she had done this multiple times in her life and didn't realize that it was a pattern.
Oh, that's
stupid. And what it did is it forecast exactly who she was from start to finish, and it told you about who she is and her personality and the aggressiveness. So we had a cathartic, therapeutic event that took place on the show, and she walked out of there almost like she had resolved her life
issues.
It was really weird.
I bet.
So we had one of those, and then I would say the most famous person we just had yesterday. I had the opportunity to interview Vicki Lawrence from the Carol Burnett Show yesterday.
Wow, really?
Because she's going to be doing her show on Raritan Valley Community College on April 17th. So we had Vicki Lawrence call in yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. So, well, I know that, you know, it's interesting because just to congratulate you on the success of creating this with, you know, Richard G. and also Chris Phelan. Mm-hmm. You know, the shows, you are all booked up. You have hardly any openings, if any,
right,
at this point. And, you know, they're popular shows. And because of, like, the Pandora radio and the way that you guys were, you know, thinking ahead,
right,
to be able to continue on in 2008 and 2009, when people would also stop doing things because of the economy,
yeah,
you pushed forward. And then, again, like you say, cars are now being made to accommodate this. So people can listen at their office. They can listen anywhere they are on their phones. And so the guests are very prominent people that come on all of these different shows. I mean,
yeah,
and they look really forward to it. I, again, just want y'all to know we're going to go to our break right now. It's already 4:15, if you could believe it, on Talented People. But our Talented People guest today is Chris Bianco, Big C, the big C. Morning guy, the Good Morning
Hutterton. I'll tell you that story when we come back.
I love it. Okay, we're going to go to break real quick. Stay with us, and thanks for listening.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Even in this difficult economy, our family of companies, including Insight Financial, Premier College Funding, and the Insight Tax and Accounting Group, have grown and prospered. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
We'll be right back.
Okay, so here we are back to studio here, in studio here at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce office, streaming live with our guest, Big C. He's the host of, he's the anchor, I should say, of the morning show, Good Morning Hunterdon. And it's by far the most popular show, but I give credit to all of the hosts and so on. But it's just Chris's personality and his name and his draw. And in the morning, everybody wants to be on his show. It's like, and if you're out there listening and you'd like to be on a show, we want to talk about that in a minute. But tell us how you got the name. How did you get the name?
Well, let's see. My name Big C came from college, actually. I was in college. I was an amateur powerlifter. So most people called me C or Big C. Now, we turned the clock back 30 years later, and I'm not exactly in the same physique that I was then. I have been going back to the gym, but still a very large individual. And I needed to make a distinction for a couple of different reasons. One is the president of the chamber is Chris. Mm-hmm. So whenever things would come into the chamber and it was directed to Chris, we were messing things up.
No doubt.
Number two, I always felt that it was pretty cool to have a quote-unquote alter ego. Now, another hidden secret of me is I'm a huge fan. My mother will chuckle at this. Huge fan of Batman from a kid. And so you need an alter ego, especially when you're trying to take on a persona that is radio host versus being a business coach and a technology executive. Mm-hmm. So I tried to separate it. And then the third thing that happens is it creates an aura. When you get something from me, an email, and I said, I'd like to invite you to my show. I'm Big C of Hunter and Chamber Radio. It catches their eye.
It
so
does.
It's a whole marketing game that's mm-hmm. being played. So it's stuck. And so it gives everybody a chance to, at the time when we started the radio station, to play radio station, because we really didn't take ourselves
play radio
we didn't
station.
Take ourselves very seriously. We didn't know how this was all going to work out. So I created the persona, and you don't see me much, because it's a oral medium. So I'm Big C, and it's my alter ego. And if I did something crazy as Big C, that doesn't affect my business. If I do something in my business, it doesn't affect my radio personality. So it was intentionally done that way. But it's also a throwback to when I was in college. So
that's a great story. I love it. And it is kind of convenient to remind you that you were Big C with the big PC or Chris right. P over here, whatever, right. Chris Peel and the president. So right. that, no, it's fun.
I needed to separate that because things were getting all
you
crazy.
You did, yeah. Right, just by doing that. But also mentioned, that now that the show has, all of the shows and the whole station has grown, you do now have the ability to go out on location. So tell us, what's the future looking like for you?
Well, we do have the ability to do mobile broadcasts, and we do that. In fact, the beauty of internet radio compared to over-the-air radio is that all I need to do is take a computer, a mixing board, a microphone, and a couple of extra wires, and I can be a radio station anywhere. Because we can broadcast right over my phone. My phone has the way of throwing out a signal to my PC so I can connect to the internet, and that's it. We set up the computer to go over Live 365, and the mixing board is just the convenience of having a microphone and being able to patch in music from my computer or patch in a smartphone into the board, and that's it. So we don't have to take a Channel 7 satellite dish with us.
Right.
As long as we have a cell phone connection with 3G bars, we're good. So when we had snowstorms, I was able to broadcast from my dining room. Some of the podcasts out there, you'll hear me during a snowstorm. I was the only one on the station that day, and I do 2 hours. And I was doing it because I wanted to get mostly the traffic and the weather to people.
Right. And you do, you have the listeners, and you got to keep, you know, your following. You have right. to, you owe your people now.
That's it. That's an
You've grown into a star with people that you have to keep talking to and keeping them up to date on the weather and the forecast.
When I've gone on vacation a couple times to South Carolina. I go down there pretty regularly. I take in my suitcase the mixing board and my computer, and I can broadcast from Hunter and Chamber Radio down in my house in South Carolina. And right after my show is done, with the beauty of technology, I use a program to get to the studio computer here, and I just switch the signal back over to the studio, and then the 10 o'clock show takes over.
It's so interesting that you say that, and I love it.
Crazy.
Because we're getting into where I wanted to go as well, is to the responsibility of it. When you had the vision back in the beginning, and like you said, you really didn't know where it was going to go. You didn't know how many people were listening. You didn't know what to expect. And now you're grown.
It's crickets. Yeah.
Yeah. And now it is difficult. You can't just kind of not show up for the day.
No.
It's a commitment every day to be on for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us how you feel about that. Like, and especially about the attachment, or there's a connection with Hunterdon County.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Well, prior to me doing this, and prior to me starting my business, I worked for Fortune 500 companies. Mm-hmm. And you look in hindsight, and Jeannie, you probably get this all the time from some of the other people you deal with who change careers. You look in hindsight, and you find out that you've been kind of doing a life that you really didn't like for a very long time.
Right.
By being in those Fortune 500 companies, I was making a pretty good financial salary. I was making those companies be successful, but you're missing out on attachment to your community.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like circumstances just happened to work in the right direction that I could be a stay-at-home dad, be a consultant, work with local businesses now to get their world back on track, especially after the financial crisis. And now I could actually do this, which was kind of on a bucket list. I always wanted to be a radio show host.
Really?
I always had people have always told me that I'm a quote-unquote philosopher. So here you get to do that. You get to be a radio show host. You get to be a philosopher because you get to opine your opinions to people, and you don't have to listen to anybody talking back to you. A little bit of an ego trip there.
That's funny.
And then at the same time, go back now. I told you I was a performer.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm putting on a performance, so I'm bringing that back. And the last thing I'll tell you is that I am not a social person. Despite the fact that I'm talking to you right now, and this is work to me, and it's not work is not a bad thing in that context. When the chamber has ribbon cuttings and cards exchanges, I'm not very effective in those environments. I do not like to have chit chat. The way that I present myself and my business is by being working in something. So by working here and being the persona of Big C and being the Good Morning Hunter, I'm doing my networking by bringing other businesses here and working with them 2 hours for free, and they get to know me and I get to know them. And now we've established another branch of my network so that I can build my career and my professionalism and build the radio station at the same time.
Wow.
So it's kind of cool that it works that way.
It's just a perfect model. But
it is.
The one thing is that you need to know on the listener side, like the Colleens and I are listening and listening to you, like you say, do your show
mm-hmm.
and perform. And where you say that you're not really the social person to hang out at the card clubs and stuff, which I find fascinating, by the way.
I am an introvert by nature.
It's just amazing. Wow. Did you know that? Everybody out there? I know that. But I also know that from the listener side, the amount of time that you say, like you said about missing out with the corporate world for the community and what you can do at the grassroots level, this entire station, you can feel the passion that you have for the community when you're interviewing those guests that you have on the show.
Well, it becomes a responsibility to them
mm-hmm.
and the community and the to help them get the marketing that they need. And that coincides with my business.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm I feel an obligation to grow my community by helping those people be successful. Mm-hmm. And by them being successful, we're helping the chamber as well. Another residual out of that, I was involved in the Leadership Hunterdon class of 2014. So I got to learn a lot about the county, and now I start to see how all the entire county is interconnected. And you know well about that, because when we did the video of Leadership Hunter, and I was talking about that with your son when he was doing that video. Mm-hmm. So that again, the ability to help that individual, to see that when you are making them successful and the light in their eyes, that you are promoting them, but it's doing more than that. I'm looking for a better word than that. You're bringing support to them and credence to who they are.
Exactly.
Wow. Validate. They walk out of here, mm-hmm. and they've done an infomercial, and some of them are quite honestly scared to death when they come in here.
Yeah,
the first
I want
to
talk about that too.
But when you get them through the hour and then they walk out, man, you gave them a huge shot of adrenaline and said, "Your business matters." And I hope that they take that out and they can then incorporate that and use that later on for whatever success they want. And then I'll add to that, one of the other things we do here at the Chamber Radio is we create archives, or what we call podcasts. Mm-hmm. So we're creating an infomercial for you.
A footprint in the internet concrete, yeah. And we're going to go to our break real quick, because it is almost
already?
I know, that's what happens. You created this awesome show, and it's not long enough. All right, it's 4:28 right now. This is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. We're listening to a conversation here with in studio. Chris Big C is here, the personality of the morning. Good morning, 100 Show. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to 100inChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the 100in County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@100in-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy 100in, buy local. Visit www.100inchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
All right, well, welcome back to the show here. We went to a quick break because we have our Big C guest in here, the host of the Good Morning 100in Show. If you want to know a little bit more about him, I'm sure that you probably listen in the morning and then think, let's hear about him. He's always talking about everybody else. All right, so back up a little bit. I want to say that one of the services that you do, and again, you do it so well, is to the community and to those small business owners that for one, many times they've never been on the radio before. Yeah. And like you said, they're terrified, right?
Yep.
And then you get to bring them in and then mm-hmm. talk to them. And I know that you can tell, like you said, when they walk out, they have the adrenaline from being on the show. But tell us more about how that feels. And again, if someone were interested in getting on your show, what do they have to do that?
Oh, well, it's a lot of money, obviously. No. my email address for the radio program is goodmorning@100inchamberradio.com. I'm on it constantly, so if it shows up, you'll be getting an answer from me pretty quickly. I have a schedule that I keep pretty much every weekday morning from 9 to 10. I set aside for interviews. If there's no interviews, then I do local news that I get from the 100 County Democrat and some other lighthearted type stuff that makes you get out the door on your way to work that's entertaining. When a person is coming in to my show, I usually get a sense of their trepidation or excitement or concern or what. There's always a different tactic. To be honest with you, I've pretty much seen them all at this point. You do enough interviews and you can pretty much see the personality that you're going to get coming in. I used to send out questions mm-hmm. to them to kind of get them in the train of thought of what my show is about and what I'm trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
I've since stopped doing that, and instead I send out more of a generic overview of what I'm going to cover. The only thing I will tell them to bring in is any contact information or anything, statistics, something that they need to refer to, so they have that. But from that everything else is kind of generic. I divide my show into four pieces. The first part of the segment with an interview is going to be about the person and how they got started in their business or what background they have that has made them wind up where they were. The second part is talking about the organization or the business that they're in, if that's what we happen to be talking about. We'll talk about an overview of it, how long it's been around, a little history of it. Then we'll get into the third segment, was products and segments that products and services that they offer. What it's like to, if they call you up, much like you're asking me, what is like if I call you up and I'm a new customer? How would you treat me? What would be the conversation we would have? What are your successes? What are the things that you loved about what you've done? What was the most memorable time? Same questions you're asking me. Mm-hmm. And then what's your vision for the future? Where does this go for you? Same questions you're asking me. And
I got it from you.
You got it from me. Well, there you go.
I'm following your format because I love your show. Well, go ahead.
So when you start out with somebody and they're very concerned, if I ask them their name and who they work for, we've already got the first question down. And they know that one's coming. And so they know that's the first question, and if they can get through that one, we're pretty good. Mm-hmm. We're talking about stuff that they should know because it's stuff they lived.
Right.
So I'm not asking you to lie or make up stuff. It's who you are. I'm very fortunate in that I think I am pretty well versed in a lot of subjects. And if I'm not, I'm able to make connections to experiences that I've had that might relate to their business. Mm-hmm. It's just the nature of who I am and what I've experienced over my lifetime. Mm-hmm. So I make it conversational. So the first 8 minutes, and believe it or not, we only get 8 minutes to talk with them before they come on the air, is I give them some logistics about how far the microphone should be and I'm changing the volume and I'm going to be looking at the board and all that. Don't pay attention to the guy behind the curtain. I'm going to ask you this first question. You're going to hear me do the weather in a commercial before I start. I'm going to do an intro. I pick a theme song for them most of the time. So it's giving credence again and elevating them in my eyes that I've decided that this is the music that I believe relates to who you
are
and what you're about.
That is very special.
So there's always a piece of music I come mm-hmm. up with if I can. And then we go. Now, I tell them it's not a State of the Union address. We're going to have a conversation. I'm going to ask them a question, and I'm going to be the ears of everybody else who's listening. And when I hear that you need to clarify, I'm going to ask for the clarifications. And that's where we go from there. And right after they say, my name is so-and-so, and this is what I'm about, the microphones go away, and it becomes a conversation. And I tell them, you're not going to believe this, but when we're done, the hour is going to be done, and you're going to wonder what happened at the time.
Yeah. Have you ever had an awkward situation, guys?
I've had one.
Let's hear.
I've had one, and it's back when I used to send the questions, mm-hmm. This person wrote every answer to every question. And she came in, and she was very nervous, and she said, and this is the key, you're not going to change the questions.
Uh-oh.
And I, okay. So, you know, that one became a little tough. The only other awkward ones, they really aren't awkward, aside from that one, was and this is why I stopped sending out the questions. Because some people were so in-depth in what they wanted to talk about, I would say, good morning, Jeannie. Welcome to the show. And tell us a little about yourself and what's your business. They'd give me every answer to every question in that first answer. Mm-hmm. And we'd be at 28 after. And I'd say, okay, now I'm on to the second question.
Yeah.
And so it didn't become a conversation anymore. So
right.
I removed that so that they don't know what's coming.
That's good, I think, yeah. And I do think it's interesting in different personalities because there's some people who are so nervous that they have to read it. And right. as soon as it's over, even if they had 20 questions, yeah. they get through it so fast and you have half an hour and you can't figure out what to ask them because basically you didn't really get
them. No, they give you a clue.
I don't have that. I'm trying to learn from you, the king.
They give you a clue. I will listen and there's always something in their answer that I catch that there's a passion.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's why their show is so good. Keep going, okay? Everybody out there listening, you can.
So you'll hear something that they'll say. It's something that they say separate from the actual answer. You do it as well. You'll say, well, we'll get to that later. Or I'd like to ask you, or that's so interesting. I want to know more about that later. And I'm already cluing into what you're interested in.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of times somebody will start to say an anecdote. They'll start to give me an answer, and then they'll be doing a tangent. They realize they're tangenting, and then they bring themselves back, or I bring them back to the answer. But I already know that I have another question.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because they went off on the tangent.
Thank God. Well, sometimes there are people who don't go off on the tangent, and then I'm like, oh, boy. And then I just keep pushing the commercials.
No. There's always something.
No, but that's what you're so skilled at. That's why you're here today.
There's the questions of, tell me, if you ask yes or no questions, you're doomed, obviously, yeah. And you know that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you tell them, and that's I've done this with them, a new store.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I've walked through the front door. Describe for me what your store looks like. And they start, and they sit back, and they have to now shut down for a second. They close their eyes, and they have to slow down, and they have to start thinking about it. And they'll start saying, oh, my, you know, the walls are blue, and the espresso machine's over here. And, you know, all of a sudden I just heard, oh, this is an espresso machine.
That's like,
you know, what made you do that?
Yeah.
You know, why do you have an espresso machine? And if you start digging in those tangents, you start finding out some really cool stories. Well, yeah. My grandfather loved espresso. Oh, really?
What was your I love that. Well, that's what's so great about listening to your show, too, because you can hear when you're following along on those paths, and they do make for such a nice show.
Yeah.
I want to mention again about what it really does. And sometimes what you were saying about the archiving is that when that person who's never been on the radio comes in and and leaves, and they've made it through that hour that seemed like 5 minutes, and they're totally a different person. They're like, they really charged up. And then you have a commercial for them, Everlasting, that people are clicking and listening to, both on the Hunterdon County, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Yep.
You can get all the archives there. The shows play over and over again, which I think is awesome, through the weekend, and people can hear everything. Let's go back for a couple seconds more about you again. One of the things you were talking about is that you had adopted two daughters from Russia.
That's right.
I got to hear a little more about this. Tell us about this.
It's quite a long story, but I'll try and put some of the points to it. My wife and I did things completely backwards. We were career people first and traveled first. And then we said, let's have a family. So we were in our 40s. And we said, okay, let's do that. And things don't work out as easy as they do when you're younger. We were both teachers. So we said, what? See, I'm giving you a tangent. See that? So we're both teachers. And we said, look, we've already know that there are plenty of kids out there that don't have homes, that don't have parents. Even worse yet, there are groups of kids that don't get adopted. Why do we need to bring another life in this world when there are so many kids that just need a place to live? So that's what we both came upon this idea separately, believe it or not.
Really?
And it coincided with our discussion. So we decided we would adopt, and because we had an education background, and because we were middle school teachers, and because we could deal with groups of kids, we thought, why don't we look for a sibling group? And we learned through our research that sibling groups, especially older sibling groups, have less than a 5% chance of being adopted.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
And because most parents just want the little baby in swaddling clothes.
Right.
I don't need that.
Just one.
I'm not interested in changing diapers. Mm-hmm. There's not much excitement for me in that. I think you do it once, and I think you pretty much got it down.
Mm-hmm.
So we said we wanted to do that. Initially, we wanted to adopt in the United States. We set a goal to do that, and we learned very quickly that the United States, each state, is their own little fiefdom. And they really, I'm going to make a generalization, and I'm sorry, but each state does not seem to be interested in having their kids adopted in another state.
Is that right?
So we worked for a year. We would you'd go out on the site. It's all chummy. It's all fun. You go out to the state of whatever, and you say, "Oh my God, look at those kids. They're cute. I'm interested in them." And they say, and we call them up, and they say, "No, no, you're from New Jersey. No, we don't want them to leave the state of whatever." Mm-hmm. And we did that for about a year, and we said, "Enough. That's I've had enough of this already." So we drew a line in the sand and said, "If we don't get anywhere in that first year, we'll continue that, but then we'll start to look internationally." So we did. And what we said was, we really, you know, the stigma of being adopted is a big enough problem. Let's look for kids that at least have some ethnic characteristics similar to us, so the kids don't have to answer questions. That's not to shortchange the people who adopt folks from other countries. If you're Caucasian, you're adopting Asian, that's fine. I just didn't want to put those kids through that question. I believe the other kids, people are doing a wonderful thing. We just didn't want to put the stigma on them. So the last thing we wanted to do is we learned that there was a way to have older kids come to you and live with you for a couple of weeks to get to know you.
Wow.
And we learned about a program that would do that. And they would. We found out about it.
It's like an interview.
It's like an interview.
To join the family.
Well, it's under this cloak of... It's an international folk festival. Mm-hmm. But it really is this group of kids from an orphanage who's coming, and you get they get to stay with you for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And we said we would like a girl and a boy, and we would like them to be of a certain age range, and... You know, two or more is fine. So these boy and this girl came from Russia. They were 9 and 11, and they stayed with us for 2 weeks. They didn't speak a speck of English. they came with. Now, how do you pack to go to a country? How do you pack?
To go to a country?
Yeah. How big would the vessel
be? I would have
be?
A lot of stuff.
They came with a Hallmark bag.
Oh, my.
That was it.
Wow.
Nothing else. They had a pair of shorts on.
Seems like low maintenance. I like that.
They came with a Hallmark bag.
Oh, my God.
So, just to show you what's going on in the world. First day they were here, now they don't speak any English, and we don't speak any Russian. So we had picture books, and... We had these books that would allow you to speak phonetically. It was written phonetically in English, but I was actually saying a Russian word.
Wow.
And we basically communicated with one-word statements, or I used Google Translate on the computer, and I'd type in English and hit Translate, and it would produce it in Russian, and they would type in Russian and translate, and we'd get it to English.
Wow.
That's how we communicated for 2 weeks.
And how did it go?
Well, it was a try out, and then we said, we're good, we're ready to go. And then they gave us the medicals on them, and we learned that they had 3 other siblings.
Oh, no.
And I said, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, boy.
What you're telling me is, if I adopt these 2, I'm leaving 3.
I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it either.
Mm-mm.
So we said, we'll take them all.
Oh, God. No, you did not.
Yes, we did.
Did you really?
Yes, we did.
And do you have them all?
No, I don't.
Okay, what happened?
The oldest, awesome. The youngest.
That you said yes, at least.
We went through a lot of stomach aches on the way.
I bet.
The youngest one was actually not adoptable. She actually went through foster care, and she is somewhere in the United States now. We can't find her. We're trying to.
Wow.
The oldest one didn't want to come. Mm-hmm. She was 16, and she didn't want to come. So, but we said, in Russia, all the kids have to agree.
Really? So you couldn't take him unless she came?
No. They all have to agree on the plan.
Oh, on their own. Okay.
On the plan. Mm-hmm. So she had to agree that the other ones could come. And she would stay.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, do you agree that you would allow this? She said, yeah, that's fine.
Wow.
And then another one was in another orphanage separate from the rest of them. And that orphanage was not a good place. Very, very ugly, dark place for kids that are severely affected by either medically or physically or mentally.
Wow.
So we were all right. So we're, you know, so now the thing is we put in for everybody. We figured out what was going to go on. And now we had to go back to Russia to visit them. But unfortunately, we had a couple of incidents in the United States that actually were Russia closed down adoption for 3 years. So all of our paperwork expired twice. It cost me a significant amount of money. I had to redo a lot of paperwork, 270-something documents that have to be notarized. And then they have this concept called apostilled, which is that the state verifies that the notary is certified. Mm-hmm. And you have to send that down to the state of Trenton, and it costs $5 a piece of paper. And I did 270 of those. Mm. And they lost them once, and we had to do them twice more. And we send them off, and Russia closed. So on April 1st of 2008... 2008 we went first in March, and we went to visit them and visit the orphanage, and then we went to visit that one daughter that was in that other orphanage. And I said, I can't leave without at least knowing who she is or what her situation is.
Right.
Well, I met her in 10 minutes, and I said, she doesn't belong here. She was just traumatized from her original situation, and the Russian government basically just said, well, she's traumatized, send her there. So there was a teacher that was keeping her afloat, basically in a sea of other just negativeness. And it was an unbelievable dream come true that we showed up in, and she had all the skills to be able to thrive on her own, but just nobody ever gave her the chance. So we said, well, she doesn't belong there. She's coming. And so we put in for her, and the two kids that we...
The girl and the boy, and then the new sister in the bad place.
Well, okay, then the story keeps going. Are we out of time?
Well, I ran past the commercials, and you're the boss here. So
I'm like, the boss.
Okay. If I can leave the commercials out, fine. Otherwise, right. We've got to go real quick to 41.
All right, so then...
But we're at the end of our seat here.
I can't believe
the story. Go ahead.
Well, then we go back the next year, and the older daughter says, I want to come.
So, oh, my goodness. So now there's four of them?
There's four. But, so we said, okay. We're good. We'll take all four. We come back home, and I got a call the next month, and I got a call from the adoption agency. Said, the older daughter, she's 8 months pregnant.
No, you're kidding.
No, I'm not.
Holy moly.
That
all right.
Became an international incident. The Secretary of State of the United States was involved in that incident.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you can't adopt a kid who has a child. Or is with child.
So you can't?
So and so that kid had to make a decision as to whether she should be adopted or give up her kid.
No. Well, you're serious?
Yeah. So she couldn't come.
So she said, no, I'm going to keep my baby?
She stayed, yep.
Wow.
And then on the court date, the brother said he wasn't coming. So we came back with the original
daughter, girl, and then the one in the bad house.
Yep.
And now how is it going? And how old are they? And did they wait 3 years? Like at the first round, did the boy and the girl that came out to see for 2 weeks, did they get their hopes up and then have to go home and wait while Russia shut down? Did they have to wait 3 years?
Yeah. Yep, they did.
That is so terrible.
And things were got a lot worse because of that.
Yeah, I bet.
Because now you're institutionalized for 3 years longer than you really needed to be. Yeah.
Right, and especially in those teenage years, where again you said you guys work in reverse, yeah, so your wife came, and you, so you guys took in the teenagers at the when they're the worst with
right.
all this bad stuff that already happened to them,
right.
and didn't even have the little babies to learn and
that's
get a little
right.
bit of patience.
That's
endurance.
Right. So we had to catch up in 5 years. They've been here almost six years.
Congratulations.
We had to have a whole life in 5 years, and I'll tell you what's really crazy about it.
How old are they now?
17 and 18. The first year they were here, they were 12 and 13. They were pushing around baby carriages mm-hmm. and little kids
Aww.
As if they were
right.
toddlers.
Yeah.
They got bicycles mm-hmm. and they started using the bicycles. We went through, it was like being through an 18-year life in time lapse. It was really crazy. You'd have the first 5 years of their life, their emotional life went from like 12 years and 6 months. And it was like 6 months of what spanned 5 years. And then we went on to do another 5 years. So, you know, we kind of lived their entire emotional life in a very quick period of time.
Did they learn how to speak English in the 3 years?
Yes, they did.
But while they weren't here.
They weren't here. No, they didn't.
Or did they come over again with the same level of,
They came over. They couldn't speak anything when they came here.
Oh, my gosh. I admire you so much for doing that.
And I got to give a shout out to Hunterdon Central and Reddington Middle School. The ESL teachers on there are awesome. Mm-hmm. And so they were the first two Russians to ever be in the ESL program.
Wow.
And one really cool thing about the ESL program in Hunterdon Central is...
What does ESL mean?
English as a second language.
Oh, okay. See,
when
I'm
you
that
come
stupid.
Into that,
good
when
thing
you come
I asked.
Into that class, and if you're a new country they've never had before, they post your flag on the wall.
Aww.
So that was the first time the Russian thoughtful. Flag got on the floor. On
oh,
the,
I like it. What about, where did you grow up at?
I was born in the Bronx, New York. I lived in Yonkers, and then I moved to Clifton for 5 years. Then I moved to Parsippany for 11 years, and then I moved to Rockaway when I was married.
Wow. How long have you been in Hunterdon County?
16. Wow. I moved here in 1999.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I know we're going to have to go to the end of our show soon enough. So I know. You're talking, this, by the way, this is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy, and Big C, the anchor of Good Morning Hunterdon, the most popular show streaming live from Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce building, created by him and anchored by him, is right here in studio today talking all about everything between the shows and also a little bit about himself. And Chris, tell us a little bit more. What else would you like to share before we run out of time?
Well, I would just suggest that if you have something that you have a passion about as a business or anything else, you really have to put in all your effort. If you do a half-baked job, you're going to be very frustrated. So the fact that you, Jeannie, have asked me to come on, and the fact that you've given me a couple of pats on the back for it, is because I don't like to do things half-baked. So despite the fact that this is a volunteer gig for me, I really hate inefficiency and the fact that I have 37 other people who are counting on me to do something about it. Just don't want to let them down. So
those are show hosts.
Do what you need to do. Make sure you only get one shot on this roller coaster. Do it right. So you can walk proud and say you gave it your best shot. And if it fails, it fails, but at least you said you did it. And, when I meet up with you and you bring that passion to the radio show and we talk about you, that's what I get jazzed up about. That's the cool stuff.
It is the cool stuff. And what you do for Hunterdon County and to make sure everybody's up to date on everything, not just the news and weather, all of the different events. I'm going to actually mention two of them real quick. And then, okay, we have two upcoming events. One is a cybersecurity event that is being hosted on location at the College of New Jersey on Monday, April 20th, just coming up a week and a half from now. It's a free event for small business owners, anyone out there interested in learning more about the risks of cybersecurity, both from an insurance standpoint, from the layman terms, brought to you for free by the Small Business Development Center with a grant from Sandy, because the state of New Jersey wants you all out there to know about this. It's only 17 miles away, and it's a half-day event. Breakfast and lunch are served for free, but you have to register. You can see the headliners, the talent, the lineup at cybersecuritynj.com, where you can register again for free and join us. And then also, just so you know, a little local here, Mariah Foundation, which I think you all may have heard.
Who's of. Mariah?
Mariah Foundation. They're the ones, the 501c3, that sponsored Colleen Kelly's birthday party at the Copper Hill Country Club last year, and also donated the proceeds to Helpful Hearts, which is one of the most generous 501c3s here in Hunterdon County. It all goes to a good cause, and they're doing a garage sale. So basically, there's drop off now. Mariah Foundation, you can look it up, mariahfoundation.org. Mariah stands for The Lord Provides, and it's to children's charities. So if you go online, you'll see that between now and the 15th of April, you can drop off anything. It's called Clear Your Clutter for Charity. You can just drop off anything you have, and then it will be sold, and then it will be returned to the Mariah Foundation for distribution. So if you want to find out more about that, you could just get in touch. You could send an email to info@mariahfoundation.org. So we're already here at the end of the hour, 4:56. Chris, what would you like to leave? Last words.
Well, thanks for listening, and let's keep it going. That's all I can say, man. I love this. I love this gig, and it's a lot of fun, and I highly recommend it. If you want to be a host, come on by. We'll get you started.
And if you want to be on the show, and including this one, talented people, send your information over. You can get in touch with me at Jeannie Murphy PR. You can look on the website at 100 In Chamber Radio to find out more about the shows and anything else. But Chris, Big C, thank you for creating this awesome opportunity
thank
for
you.
All the guests and for all the hosts and for all the listeners.
All right.
All right, you guys have a great week. I'm going to put you back onto the road here, and we will be having the next show on real estate coming up in a minute.
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Senator Rand Paul is taking his campaign for the presidency on the road. One day after officially throwing his hat into the GOP contender ring, the Kentucky Republican is heading to New Hampshire. He tells NBC's Today Show that he never grew up dreaming of a run at the Oval Office.
In the back of my mind, I thought I might run for an office someday. But no, never in my wildest dreams would I think there'd be a constellation of events that would come forward that would allow me to. But I do think that the message I have to offer is a distinct one, and I think it is resonating.
The father of the black man gunned down by a white police officer in South Carolina says he isn't sure if the incident was racially motivated. Walter Scott Sr. tells NBC's Today Show he's confident justice will be served.
God is in the plan. God is tied with all this foolishness going on, and I believe in my heart that God is going to finish this right now. This has started. They started, and I think God is going to finish it.
This is USA Headline News.
This is a special broadcast. At 4:10 p.m. today, I died, and yet here I am. Why? I am a messenger of God.
Friday, April 17th.
This is the beginning.
A star fell from heaven. It changed us and gave us a new destiny to stop the devil himself.
Wait, you mean like the devil?
The end will begin.
We're the angels of the apocalypse.
The Messengers, series premiere only on the CW.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Indiana Pacers forward Chris Copeland, his wife, and another woman are nursing knife wounds following an argument outside one of New York's hottest nightclubs. Alice Stockton Rossini reports.
There was an argument outside One Oak Club in Chelsea early this morning. The One stands for the kind of clientele who hang out there. Former Knicks Chris Copeland was there as the place was closing around 4 this morning and took a knife to the...
Good afternoon, Hunterdon County. This is Tony Page coming to you live from the CenturyLink building in downtown Flemington. And I'm joined tonight by two great people. First of all, we have my co-host and colleague, Mr. Joe Eggert.
Joe Eggert's here in the house. Hi, Tony. How are you? Good seeing you.
Good. He sounds great.